All right, we don't have very many people here, but I'd like to call to order the December 16th meeting of the Architecture Committee of the Neal Craig Commission. Would the Deputy Director take the role to establish a quorum, please?
Yes, Cynthia Stewart, here. Mr. Feifield is
here.
Stephen Bergeron is here, and I would like to welcome Blake Dare. Am I saying your last name correctly?
Yeah, that's what I said.
First meeting, he will just be observing until he is put in place by the commission next.
Great.
January, yes.
We have an applicant here for 730 St. Peter Street. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 730 St. Peter is a blue-rated main building and service building. This is a review of proposed alterations to improve plans for ongoing renovation, including mechanical platform and millwork, and an appeal to retain masonry wall extension and electrical work. Prior application materials were received November 23rd, 2022 and December 5th, 2025, respectively. Staff notes that many of these changes are either already complete or in progress. The proposed revisions that require committee review are as follows. Mechanical, a new 8-foot-wide hood vent service platform has been proposed for the service aisle roof. Staff notes that the hood vent and roof hatch were already approved in previous reviews in the same materials. The platform appears to be about 30 inches deep. The applicant has provided photos from this location, which shows that it is minimally visible from surrounding properties. Staff finds the platform conceptually approvable, but additional details are needed, and care should be taken to minimize the platform as much as possible. It is currently shown with 4-inch on center pickets. Since it's a utility rail, staff questions if a 21-inch on center spacing would be found approvable. A new mechanical rack was added beneath the third floor stair landing, hidden above the second floor stair. Since this is only visible from inside the stairwell, staff finds this location approvable for retention. The previously approved screen mechanical platform has been eliminated from the rear of the courtyard. The equipment has been relocated to either the approved HVAC platform between the main building and service aisle, or the new rack in the stairwell. Staff requests clarification from the applicant. Staff considers the elimination of the HVAC from the courtyard to be a significant improvement, but it is unclear if any units will be added to the rooftop platform, and if so, whether they will be more visible than what was already approved. Millwork, minor millwork changes are proposed at the service aisle as follows. At the far end of the courtyard, opening 107 was previously approved to be an in-swinging door with a side light to fill the irregularly sized opening. It is now proposed to be stuccoed cased opening with no millwork, leading to an alcove for restroom and trash. Staff notes that the alcove itself, including openings to the trash room and bathroom, will be under VCC jurisdiction as exterior space and subject to VCC review if approved. 108B, 108A, 107A, and 305A are all shown swinging out. Staff has no objections, but all should be set back within the depth of the wall. Courtyard service aisle. On June 11th, 24, the committee reviewed and deferred a proposal to extend the masonry courtyard wall to a uniform height. The proposal was deferred due to questions regarding whether it would be found approvable for the CZO and the pending submittal of an engineer's report and corporal footing investigation. No further materials were provided, but the extension has been built. It is unclear how much height has been added, but it appears to be about 10 feet. Staff requests that the applicant provide the materials requested at the previous review before retention is considered. The elimination of the rear courtyard HVAC platform results in a minor drainage change. A continuous trench drain is now shown running the full length of the courtyard adjacent to the 726 side masonry wall. The applicant is appealing to retain an electrical conduit running beneath the face of the service aisle outriggers, but is willing to paint it. Staff finds the conduit visually obtrusive and especially unfortunate given the extent of the work undertaken at the site and questions whether there is no better solution for obscuring it. Overall, staff recommends conceptual approval of the proposed mechanical work with revisions and additional materials submitted as noted above, conceptual approval of the proposed millwork alterations with the proviso that the doors be mounted to the inside face of the wall, deferral of the appeal to retain the courtyard wall extension until more information is provided, conceptual approval of the courtyard drainage alterations and denial of the appeal to retain the electrical conduit's current location. Also, I will note, I forgot to put it in the report, the hood vent platform, because this is a blue-rated building, also will need to be forwarded to the commission.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and your relationship with the property, please?
Mackenzie Laxton, 824 Barone Street, Associate Architect on the project.
John Williams Architects, 824 Barone Street.
Great. Do you have a response to the staff report or a presentation you'd like to share with us?
I don't think so. Do you guys have anything?
Okay. Where do you want to start?
Mechanical.
Good.
Sure.
So we have the hood.
Do we have good images of these elements?
This one is pretty hard to see.
This one you can't see from the courtyard, but we do have pictures from that location.
Yeah. Right. Those are those kind of panoramic views.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is going out from there.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we have a rendering though, Aaron.
Not necessarily. That was in the paint.
I mean, it's literally
up there.
Yeah.
And again, the hood mint and the patch were already approved. It's in that same location. The platform's the only part that's being added.
Yeah, so the rail, the platform rail, yeah.
It has been installed?
It looks a bit like it from the pictures.
Has the rail been installed?
The rail, no. Just the hood.
Just the what was approved.
Yeah,
the platform and the vent.
Well, the platform wasn't. The platform still requires approval. The hood mint and the hatch were approved.
Oh, yeah.
But the platform itself, the entire platform, including the rail, all of that is new.
Okay. Go on.
That's in order to service the hood.
Of course, yes, of course.
Yes.
So we need additional information on this, bottom line.
On the platform?
Right.
I think that if y'all are okay with the platform conceptually, I think that we can handle that staff level. It does need to go to commission because of the rating and it being a rooftop installation. The one item that I was recommending deferral for was that wall extension because it is so extensive and we already requested that information a year and a half ago.
And so have you determined that it's not a visible, these platforms are not visible elements?
They're not visible from the... It's not going to be visible from the courtyard for sure. And looking out at the panoramic views, there are a few windows that we'll be able to see it. There's nothing from a right of way anywhere. There's going to be some far away windows that are able to see it, but I'm sure they see much worse.
And there's also,
Great. Okay. Then let's go down to the wall. Do we have was that an image of the wall?
No, I think it's right here.
Yeah, okay.
So remember, was it like above this or?
No, it's right where the plaster ended.
Right where the plaster ended. Okay, yeah, so this is
historically
all.
Historically, this wall existed.
Okay. So
that
was
put
the
it back.
Part.
It fell during the storm.
Yeah, but the extension
we
just had.
We worked with Pat O'Brien to put it back because it keeps their sound out and keeps our sound out from them.
I'm sorry.
It just hadn't been part of the original approval.
It was part of it and. Correct me if I'm wrong, you guys asked for more information on the footing and...
You wanted an engineer's report and some investigation of the corbel footing to see if it would be able to support it. It was removed from the scope of work before permits were issued for the overall renovation because they didn't want to hold up the overall scope of work, and then it was installed without approval.
So did you get the engineer's report?
No. Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Well, we had an engineer look at it and say that they didn't think it was a problem.
So what is the documentation that wall was there before?
We have a picture.
Oh, you do?
Well, Andy did, but he ain't here no more. I can find it.
Well, no, I think
there was an old picture of it going up past the railing on the right. There's a railing there, and the wall went up past the railing. That's all I can remember from the picture. I said, well, that's great.
I feel like we're
just replacing a wall that was there.
Please say that out loud. Yes.
I feel like we need more information. Like a copy of this picture and engineering.
And the engineering report. Okay.
I think those were the
drainage.
That part we were okay with. That was, remember, there was originally approved HVAC here, correct, Aaron? Mm-hmm. You know, the one with the back wall?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was good.
I think it's all good.
This is probably this is pretty bad when you walk in, and it's on every floor. And it's...
I can speak to that if you'd like.
Yeah.
Sure, tell us what happened.
One is the Preservation Hall side, which is, we're opening these two courtyards up. It has the exact same balcony with the exact same conduit, we painted the conduit, and you see the lights. I don't know if you have a picture of the...
I do. I want to be very clear. I've said this in emails, and I'm going to say it again for the record. These are two very distinct properties. This building on this side is blue-rated, and it's much more high-style than the other side. This is not how it was laid out in the drawings.
I know the contractor built it this way because he thought it would be the right thing to do. And we also have the state and federal, the state historic preservation office says that they're happy with it. We're trying to get a tax credit, so we'd like to keep it there. It costs less to keep it there. They thought they were doing the right thing. Look at the lights on
but
the
right. But it's not what the drawing said. I just want to be...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a contractor that said, well, look over there. Maybe Ben came through and said, I want it to look like that. So they look like what's on the other side of the...
So did you bring this to the attention of the staff, or did they have to discover it?
No, we discovered it.
Yeah.
So the conduit on the preservation hall side, I had actually discussed with Andy, and we had discussed some at the committee level. And what we had decided with that is that because this building had never had electricity or HVAC or anything, doing something that was very simple that didn't interfere with any of the, building historic fabric, was easily removable, that kind of thing, is a very different situation from the other building being completely redone, having had these services before, the potential of, laying something much more discreetly here rather than across the street, or across the courtyard.
What do you think?
And I'll be honest with you, frankly, when we went out there, it was literally the first thing I saw. You guys might be okay with it on the second and third. You might say, okay, maybe on the higher floors.
We'd probably be okay with that, too.
That could fly, but I'm telling you, this part was pretty.
So have you explored alternate locations for this conduit?
Yeah, you're going to push it back against the wall and have it come up and back, come up and back, in between the joists. I mean, it's going to be there. It's conduit. It's exposed. And
where was it supposed to be in the original concept? Where was it going to be located?
Where was it approved?
The original RCP didn't have the structure exposed. That's why. So it didn't have the conduit. It just showed the light and then kind of like a blank ceiling. Or underneath the balcony.
Supposed to be technically.
I would say the third floor has that condition where it does have a ceiling, but the second and first do not. And that's unfortunately not how it was drawn when y'all got it probably many years ago.
Okay.
So staff, would the ideal solution be to have it tucked into the corner? But still on the outside of the building, or?
The guidelines do allow for exterior conduit, but it is specific that it's to be tucked away as much as possible into, any kind of corners so that they can be more discreetly painted out. Our concern with this is that even if it is painted out, it's pretty, like Renee said, we came around the corner and looked up and it was the first thing that caught
right
my eyes.
Right now it's
just
not painted and, you have the wires hanging down.
And it's in the middle.
It's in the middle.
It's not tucked anywhere. It's
it's
low.
Yes.
It's below everything,
so below
right?
The purlin
so it's
the wall.
Super obvious. Yeah.
Below
if
the purlin
was...
against the wall would be the preference.
Right.
Well,
but yeah,
the preference would run it inside
exactly.
The building.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the preferred.
But this thing is where we are, and I'm trying to get us to a good... Yeah.
So I think I don't think we're going to decide this one way or the other today. I think what we'd like to do is entertain a proposal from you to mitigate this.
I'm sorry, Rick.
Entertain a proposal from you to mitigate this condition, since it wasn't anticipated and the staff finds great objection to it. In other words, we need to see a proposal from you as to how to fix it. I mean, I'm not going to fix this problem for you sitting here. You need to tell us what you want to do. And I think it's the consensus of the group that's something that needs to be done.
What's that?
I think it's the consensus of this committee that's something that needs to be done. So I think we're going to ask for a deferral.
A proposal from us?
From you. To fix it.
To fix it. Okay.
And you've heard the discussion today, so you know the criteria that will be used to fix it.
Well, is that, you know, clear? One of the things I would do is make sure that if I keep it there and it is just like what it is on the other side, that I wouldn't lose my historic tax credit. And so I have gotten in person a review of this by the State Historic Preservation Office. And so
that's not going to lose your historic tax credit. I know. And I will speak to the ship.
In my evaluation of what I should do next, I have to understand that no matter what I do, I also have to get them to approve it, and they're happy with what's here.
If you make it better, we'll be happy, and they'll be happy.
Well, right now it's not better. I can make it better by painting it, and then you wouldn't.
Well, make that as a proposal, and then we'll review it.
Because
I would suggest they came on the side when it was raw.
Maybe if I paint it and see what it looks like, you'd change your mind.
That's within your purview, but today I think you're going to get a deferral.
I might suggest maybe something different on the first floor than on the...
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it would be all that difficult to just move the conduit to the corner where it meets the wall and paint it.
And leave the light in the middle.
Yeah. And leave the... Yeah.
Right where it's supposed to be.
And so you just have more conduit. Right.
You'd be able to tuck it up and run it along the outward, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
So one mitigation might be keeping the light there and going up, over, and back down, up, over, and back down.
I don't think that's a good solution.
No.
I mean, that actually draws... That's a lot like this. I think what we want, we're looking for, is a solution where the conduit is less prominent, which, to my mind, either means put it inside the building or put it in the joint between the wall and the outrigger for the balcony. But I will respond to a proposal from you. We're not solving this problem for you.
Take that back and have the...
Yeah. And if you want to make a smaller proposal, then we'll review that too. But right now, we don't have a solid proposal.
All right.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Is the inside of the building open? Are the ceilings
totally
open right now?
Totally open.
Oh, this is a
great
time.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
Do it right. That is your opportunity.
And they're doing such a great job here.
They are.
Awesome. It was because they're doing such a great job here, and we've been working so closely with everyone. When Aaron and I went in and turned the corner,
it's just very unfortunate.
Why? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's a small detail. I think to move it to the inside would have a great impact.
I agree. It's a beautiful building. They're doing a great job.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's kind of covers the main topics. Do we have anything else? Eliminating the screen on the mechanical platform. I think given the visibility, that doesn't come up. And relocating mechanical equipment is not an issue.
The trench drain.
Is there an image of that?
Was that for the... Aaron, where was that?
It's just in the drawings.
Sorry.
And can you describe what's going on here so I don't have to find it in the drawings?
Basically, at the back of the site where the platform used to be, you can see where that revision cloud is on the right. No, further down towards the property area.
We'll see more.
Yeah. So the back here was the mechanical equipment, and there was going to be a planter. So it was going to do kind of a this thing where it, you know, was along the wall, and then it came over and did that. Now it's just against the wall.
Okay, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Easy one.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we've reviewed everything. Do you have anything you'd like to say before we go to a motion?
No, thank you for your help.
Okay, great. Is there a motion in the matter of 730 St. Peter Street?
Yes, the matter of 730.
Oh, except before we do that, is there any public comment? I see no public comment. Now we can do a motion.
Yes, the matter of 730 St. Peter, I move to adopt the staff report, with the exception that I move to defer the appeal to retain the electrical conduit to allow the applicant an opportunity to propose a solution to mitigate the visibility of the conduit.
Can you add something about the wall? Or not?
Well, the staff's recommending deferral, and I...
Oh, you adopted the staff report.
Yep.
Okay, then do I have a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in today.
I have just one question about that, if that's okay.
Sure.
So, because of a couple of things that you're approving, I have to go to the full commission.
The rooftop platform.
Yes.
It's a rooftop mechanical.
No, so if I made a proposition for a change, to the lamps, could they review that at the full commission?
No.
We may not even have to do that at commission.
Yeah, it might just be staff level approval or...
The lights aren't a commission thing?
No.
I haven't gotten any submittal for the lights.
Then I can handle that at the next architectural committee meeting?
I haven't gotten a submittal for lighting. Just this involved a conduit, but yeah, that'd have to go back to me.
Okay. Next item is 416 Charter Street. We have an applicant present. I'm going to recuse myself from this item, so I will step away from the table and turn it over to Stephen.
Okay, I see we have an applicant. Let's have the staff report.
41620 Charter Street is a green rated building and a brown rated building. This is an appeal to retain lighting and downspout installed in deviation from approved plans. Per application, materials received August 9th, 2024 and December 11th, 2025, respectively. The renovation for HNFC is nearing completion and the property has been inspected prior to permit closeout. Two remaining items deviate from the approved plans and require committee review and approval as follows. A new copper leaderhead and downspout were installed on the Conti elevation, set back a couple of feet from the front facade and located behind the alleyway gate. It was added to divert water from the gallery roof instead of using spitters. The downspout cannot be tied into subsurface drainage like the rest of those on the site due to subterranean conditions at this location, but it is adjacent to an existing drainage grate. Staff finds retention of the downspout conceptually approvable with the proviso that a booth be added to direct water away from the building. The applicant is seeking to retain light fixtures on the front gallery that were approved for removal. The gallery was added during a 1990s renovation that combined the green and brown rated buildings, and the recessed lighting was installed at that time, no longer meets the current lighting guidelines. The approved plans for this renovation called for removing the existing recessed lighting and installing new fixtures centered on the gallery base. New lights were installed, but the previous lighting was left in place immediately behind each gallery panel. This gives the overall gallery lighting a zigzag pattern between the new fixtures centered on the depth and width of the bays and the remaining fixtures directly behind the decorative panels. Staff requested night photos of the building so the overall impact of the lighting could be evaluated. Staff finds the building to be overlit and outside the lighting guidelines and recommends denial of retention of the old fixtures.
All right, thank you. Applicant, please state your name, address, relationship to the property.
Marquita Rogers with Traveling Gear Architects at 815 Chapel Lewis.
Do you have a response to the staff report?
Yes, we are moving forward with the cast iron downspout glued to divert water into the drain grate below, so that should be taken care of, I think, this week. And I was wondering if we could reconsider the denial to retain the lightings. I acknowledge that it was an error during construction that we didn't catch. And we were wondering if we could look at it and look at maybe dimming them down a little bit to make it kind of less intense across the facade and toning down the lighting across the building. Going back and removing them, while we did do a full renovation, we weren't intending to remove all the beadboard and the trim on the gallery, which is why during construction it was elected to retain them and retrofit these surface mounted fixtures into them. Now that the building's finished, it's a little bit more intense to pull down the fixtures, patch the beadboard, and reinstall the trim. So we're wondering if we could maybe come to a solution together to agree to make them a little bit more, minimize the light so they can be retained.
Okay, committee, any comments or questions?
Really overlit.
I'd be open to trying a dimming, so I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I think that sounds like a reasonable proposal to at least give it a shot.
Yeah, at least see what happens.
So we're exploring dimming as we speak. Because when I went out there to take the photos, I was like, we need to dim this a little bit. and those pictures are particularly challenging. Would you also consider just us turning them off if we can't dim them?
I mean, I think if they could be, my concern with this would be the precedent, right? Because they were existing fixtures, and I think that if we had known that they were going to be invasive to remove or difficult to remove, then we probably would have suggested just leaving them in place rather than adding the additional lighting, because if we were leaving something that was non-compliant but had been there since the 90s, that would be one thing. I don't know if maybe they could be disconnected so that maybe, you know, we've got like a permit in hand that says it's disconnected so that if anybody else points to it and says, but they have it, and we have it.
Yeah.
But
That's even better. Yeah.
Generally, we want to see anything that's non-operable. So.
No, I understand that. And the where the center fixtures are is where the old ceiling fans were. So we were reusing those junction boxes and popping new ones in.
Mm-hmm.
Just we did a lot with the renovation, but there's always a limit. And apparently, that's where we decided to make the limit of this one. But we'd be open to looking at dimming them and then seeing if we could just on a lighting control system. So they can go in the back end of that and program it to not turn those on, I believe.
That would probably be the better. Yeah, yeah. See what you can do with dimming if that's too if it's not effective, you know.
Okay. And then if we can't dim them, we'll look at permanently turning them off and permanent
that. Makes more sense when you say the ceiling fan. It is really bright.
It is a little bright. We'll certainly try to tone it down.
I think it seems like maybe a lot of the expense and effort involved with deleting these lights would be patching the beadboard. If the applicant proposed to remove the lights and to install a piece of round plywood or square plywood over the hole, how would staff respond to that?
Over the hole?
Is this the grade rated?
So it's both. Yeah. It spans across. So like the right hand side
is
grade
rated. It's such a weird spot.
It's very weird.
It's like hidden
in those cape holes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hidden.
I wonder if I could fit it in the.
I think if we did a patch, we would maybe try to do like a beadboard patch, like not just take out the whole swath.
If you
board,
put,
just, like,
I mean,
try to...
So here are some options. Yeah,
yeah.
I would do a beadboard patch.
So we can look at a beadboard patch, look at dimming them, and then look at just not eliminating them.
I do think it. I mean, we're going to notice because we notice, but it is going to be hidden.
Yes.
You know, where it's located is a little less
okay.
Obtrusive.
Do you have any public comment on this one? Public comment? Committee, any other comments? It's time for a motion.
I move that we defer this issue so that the architects can explore alternatives and options for mitigation.
Would you also move to conceptually approve the downspout?
Oh, yes, and conceptually approve the downspout.
With
the boot.
The boot, okay. Well, in that case, I'll second that, and all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Next up on the agenda, under new business, is 1218 Burgundy. And Mr. Fifield has returned.
Great, thank you. Do we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 1218 Burgundy is a, I did not revise that. It is a blue-rated main building and detached kitchen. Since this is regarding a plaque, I'm actually going to read the description of property, which says that this fine blue-rated cottage and detached two-story kitchen were constructed circa 1810 for Jose Antonio La Rionda. Its typical early 19th century detailing includes beaded board shutters hung with strap hinges, an abat vent, molded cornice, center chimney, and rear cabinet arches. Obviously, the original tile roof on both cottage and kitchen has been demolished. Noted on the 1896 Sanborn as a Negro day and night school, building housed Professor Mindar Nelson's school, said to be the first mixed school in New Orleans. Restored in 1939 by architect Mr. Wicker, the cottage was for many years a city-owned property known as the Brady Doll Museum. The one-story school shown at the rear of the property on the 1896 Sanborn map no longer stands. This building was documented as part of the Historic American Building Survey in 1939. This is a proposal to install a National Register plaque for application materials received June 12, 2025. The BCC Guidelines for Historic Plaques states that markers must be associated with at least one of the following: historic building that is at least 100 years old, significant events or persons at least 50 years ago are associated with the building, broad patterns of local, state, or national history are studying with the building, and the property in question must retain a high degree of historic and architectural integrity. Plaque guidelines, all markers must be bronze in material and can only include text, no images or graphics. They may not exceed 12 inches by 15 inches and must be appropriate in scale. And then the application requires some submittals. The proposed plaque is described as a satin cast bronze plaque, leatherette texture background, dark oxide stained background color, diamond shield protective coating, single line border, concealed stud mount. A provided drawing of the mounting attachment shows a, quote, stud attached to the back of the plaque and penetrating the masonry, but no details are provided about the stud itself or any epoxy or other adhesive that may be used. Staff notes that there is a discrepancy in the submitted materials, and the plaque is described as both 12 by 18 and 10 by 16. Given the guidelines and the scale of the building, the smaller option is more appropriate. The plaque's text states Medard Nelson, Home and School, in defiance of Jim Crow laws, Medard Nelson, an educator born a free person of color, established in his home the only integrated school in Louisiana after Reconstruction, 1887 to 1933, National Register of Historic Places, 2021, known also as La Lariando Corjoles House for Antonio Lariando, who built this Creole cottage in 1810, and for the architect Francois Corjoles, who lived here from 1829 to 1887. In 1939, it became part of the Cabrini Playground, a WPA project, and known as the Doll House for its doll collection. After years of neglect, it was restored in 2007 by attorney John Reed and writer John Kemp, who created Commission Certificate of Honor in 2012. Given the property's significance, staff finds that the plaque meets the above guidelines and recommends conceptual approval with the proviso that the smaller size is used. More detailed information on the attachment should be provided in advance of commission review, which is required given the building's rating. A marked up photograph must also indicate the proposed location of the plaque installation.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
I'm having trouble here.
Oh, your name and address and relationship to the
John
property,
Reed,
please.
Owner, co-owner with my wife, 1218 Burgundy Street.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation you'd like to make or a response to the staff report?
No, I'm happy to use the smaller size. I prefer to use the smaller size. And it was just a question of fitting the words on there. There's so many stories to be told about this home that it was very difficult to choose what to say and what not to say. And I'd just like to add that when we acquired this house, it was known as the Lariando Corrales House. And it's really most interesting history as the Menard Nelson School was essentially not well known in the community, and that's why we made the effort to have it put on the National Register. I would appreciate any, it may have been at the end of the presentation there, any suggestions as to the location of the plaque. I don't know whether you have an elevation. I should have submitted one, but I did. Yeah, well, there, yes. We right now have the street number right there. And my suggestion would be that it would go under that.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that okay with
you? I agree. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that's...
If that's where you... Is that where you're...
Well, actually, thinking? You know, I had thought over to the right by the alley, but given that that's there, it's the central part of the building.
Oh, I think this is perfect. Yeah. Yeah, it's perfect.
That's fine. Good.
Yeah.
And I will try to get it all on the smaller size. If I have any problem, I'll let you know.
Let us know.
And I noticed myself... you know, since font is in current these days, I don't know whether the people who are doing this have a choice of font, but that's the font on there seemed a little contemporary, but I don't know that I have a choice. I was never asked to make any choices, and all this is, you know, kind of cast in stone, so I don't know, but it doesn't bother me particularly. But,
it's fine for me, yeah. I think it's easy to read.
Yeah, I think that for this committee, it's more a question of placement rather than...
Pardon?
It's more a matter of placement, whether it can be placed or not. We'll let the staff and you figure out.
Well, I'm happy with, I think we're all in the same place then.
Okay.
And we're pleased by this plaque. We get a lot of plaque applications.
Okay. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No questions?
I'll admit the font jumped out at me as maybe, I don't know, contemporary or, but I also noticed that our standard does not call for a font.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have a choice of size.
I think, yeah, I guess any font.
Yeah. We did allow some creative freedom.
It's also possible that this might not, you know, but this is what the sign company provided. It might not be a direct mock-up. It might be more, they put...
Sample.
So I can ask.
It looks like a color sample thing.
Right.
But I don't think we're going to have any jurisdiction over that. Is there any public comment on this proposal? Did he leave?
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
okay. Wait,
he's
okay.
I'm here.
Okay.
No, no. I was finished, but I guess I'm not.
You're okay.
You're not quite finished yet. Is there any other discussion?
They have hundreds, you know, dozens of these in the garden district that are all
the same font, and this looks like the Century School book. You had a copy so that everybody read the same thing.
Do we need to get his
same
address?
It's a little small than it is, but you can still read it.
Okay. I think we want to go to a motion.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a motion in the matter of 1218 Burgundy Street?
Yes, the matter of 1218 Burgundy. I move to conceptually approve the proposed plaque with a preference for the smaller size and for staff to review final plaque, I guess, shop drawing from Ed Smith's.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Thanks for coming in today, John.
Thank you, John.
Okay, next item is 241 Bourbon Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Could we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 235 through 241 Bourbon Street is a green-rated main building and service building with ground-rated commercial info. This is a proposal to replace first and second floor millwork. Application materials received October 8th and November 11th, 2025, respectively. New materials have been submitted regarding replacement of several pieces of millwork around the building in conjunction with the ongoing renovation work of this building. The applicant proposed to wholesale replace all second floor triple hung windows, a second floor window of the service cell, and two ground floor windows. Staff notes that the ground floor windows were previously changed to doors without VCC review approval around 2008 and required to be returned to windows in 2011. As such, staff does not find the ground floor windows to have significance and does not object to the full replacement of these windows with matching replacements. Staff researched previous permits for this building and found that a proposal to repair and or replace elements of the millwork was reviewed and approved in 2010. Unfortunately, the application and permit were not overly specific regarding the specifics of the millwork repairs or replacements, but photos from that time frame seem to indicate primarily repair. Either way, it seems that all millwork was in good condition following this 2010 work. The wholesale replacement of the triple hung windows is inconsistent with preservation best practices and VCC guidelines. The guidelines note that the VCC requires comprehensive photographic documentation of the deterioration of an existing window sufficient to guide repair efforts, and the VCC requires retaining, maintaining, and repairing the original window. Further, the VCC does not allow removing historic window sash without detailed documentation of deterioration, and to mention millwork or shop drawings of a proposed window and the existing window to be replaced, including all profiles. Staff believes that to satisfy these requirements, a window-by-window survey should be submitted for review. Staff finds it entirely likely that parts, components, or even entire individual sashes are in poor condition and warrant replacement, but the wholesale replacement of 12 triple hung windows seems like an extreme move. Staff believes it is often found to be easier to completely replace these elements rather than making individual repairs to each one, but this is inconsistent with the guidelines of preservation best practices. The applicant submitted a letter from the mill shop owner, which notes that all jams are cut 3 inches short and have rotten ends. Most stops are pieced together rather than being one continuous piece. The exterior casing is full of bond repairs and is malformed. The sashes are in poor condition. Many are racked and few are square and all need glazing. Some sashes have broken and rotten rails. The alignment of the three sashes in each opening do not line up horizontally with the window to the left or right of them. VCC staff has visited the site on numerous occasions and most recently found the windows to be in fair to good condition, although not without the need for repairs. Again, staff expresses concern over the overall concept of pre-built window packages that will be installed in the openings as compared to repair replacement work in place. Staff recommends deferral of the application to allow the applicant time to submit a more thorough survey of the condition of each window.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Mackenzie Laxton, 824 Barone Street.
John Williams with Williams Architects on 824 Barone.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
I just have some additional photos because the ones that were submitted are a little bit blurry. So these are just more photos, that's all. You guys
want to
come
over?
Okay.
So our millwork person is saying the sashes are in poor condition.
Yeah.
And again, this is when we did have the State Historic Preservation Office said that if we replace these windows, they would not deny us a state and or she thinks a federal tax credit, because we showed her these pictures more recently, and we have the information from the millwork shop. Obviously, they made the windows. So, a couple other things is the if we stick with these windows, they're not going to last that long. This is what I'm getting. I know how to do carpentry, and I know the pieces that go together. But I think in terms of the lease period, if we were going to use Spanish cedar, this would be less than 25 years rather than about another 3 or 4 or 5 if you repair these. So, and I don't even know about the repair because they're so far gone. And I got this rough to light to me by the, you know, we went window by window and you can see the pictures. Every little thing, there's something that's broken that needs attention. So the owner has asked us to ask you to the exact same window, the window that will last 25 years, all the thresholds, some of these thresholds, if you were to repair them, they're pine, they're rotting, and they won't last another, you know, 4 or 5 years. So the owner is asking to do something reasonable, something that if you said this window needed to be replaced, you would approve of the window that's already been made, that has all the same profile. And anything else?
In the photos, there is the new window, which, as John mentioned, Shippo saw that as well. But they had it on site just so everybody could see what the windows would look like. Not that all of them are ready to be installed.
And so, how rare are triple hung windows?
Really rare.
Pretty rare.
So wholesale replacement of a whole set of triple hung windows seems really
12 windows.
Really dramatic.
Well, these won't be original. The windows are there, not the original windows. They're probably third or fourth generation.
Triple hungs?
Yeah.
They don't have like their
you'd have to put up triple hung windows.
These would definitely something that was replaced, but nevertheless, they're replaced in a more historic condition as opposed to being built as a unit and then set. And I just wanted, you know, we did meet on site for everything else. The windows were not part of what we were there to see.
Right.
We just happened to notice one of these and Nick asked the question, and then we realized that they had already purchased 12 of them with the intention of replacing them all, although that was not part of the plan.
Right.
So I want to, you know, point that out first. That, you know, this is an expense that the owner has gone through without authorization, without review, and that we not being there to investigate the conditions, it was a cursory look at the conditions of the existing windows, you know, because it was sort of like a last minute thing. My cursory observation was that the sashes looked to be in generally good condition. That I'm not negating right. What you're saying, we weren't there to do a full investigation, so we haven't been able to. So my preference would be that before moving forward with an approval, that we go specifically and investigate the windows so we can see the conditions of them and fully understand them before, you know, making an approval to the advantage of the property owner who was working outside the program.
Okay, committee.
Can I also note that the sashes have been repaired by the contractor? This is kind of where he got to, and then the millworker came in. And the millworker actually recommended a complete reconstruction.
Well, he was selling windows.
Yeah, so,
excuse me.
Yeah.
It was versus
repair. So, you know, I think that the staff laid out a reasonable process for asking for replacement windows. Excuse me, John, I'm going to finish speaking before you jump in, okay? They set out a reasonable process for asking for replacement windows, which you have not followed. We need a window survey. We need shop drawings that show the existing conditions and the proposed ones, so we can review them kind of as a exercise in what's actually right. I think that's particularly important here because this is rare historic fabric. And we might establish a precedent for, well, you know, the doors, the replacement windows are already on site. Let's install them because we already bought them. That's not what we're going to do here.
Right.
So we need to have some documentation on your part.
The fact that they may be only 100 years old as opposed to 200.
Yeah, just asking for approval isn't really making a case for this. And submitting a salesman's letter saying that he needs to replace the windows is not justification for replacement at all. So... before we go any further, is there any public comment on this proposal? I don't see public comment.
Can I ask one question before you guys make a motion? Where are the shutters?
They're getting stored. The contractor has them stored.
Are they getting restored or are they building new ones?
I think they're coming back.
The shutters were gone before I got on this job, so
okay. I don't know the answer. Well, we might want to put that in the motion.
Yeah, when you do your survey, include all parts of each opening. Committee, any other comments before we go to a motion?
A lot of shutters.
Is there a motion in the matter of 241 Bourbon Street?
Yes, in the matter of 241 Bourbon, per staff's recommendation, I move to defer to allow the applicant to conduct a window survey and invite members of the staff over to the building to personally inspect those windows and also to account for the shutters, which do not appear in the photography presented here.
Would you include the idea of shop drawings of existing conditions and proposed replacements as part of that proposal?
Of course I would. Yeah.
Okay, if you accept that, I'll ask for a second.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. You have some work to do.
Would you like the millworker to do the shop drawings for the survey?
They just have to be accurate, and I want the staff to go out and compare the shop drawings to the actual units. You can do the drawings, he can do the drawings, they just have to be accurate. Or they can do the drawings.
So not shop drawings, but existing conditions drawings.
Yeah. Right. And the shop drawings would be the things that you would use for replacement windows. Okay, let's move on to 601 Bourbon Street. And do we have an applicant present? I think we do. Yes, we do. Can we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 601 through 609 Bourbon is a green-rated building with a brown-rated courtyard building. The proposal to install new exterior light fixtures with exposed metal conduit on the rebuilt 2E Street side wall. Application materials received November 4th and December 2nd, 2025, respectively. As a reminder, this 2E Street side wall of the main building was largely rebuilt earlier this year. During the review of that proposal, staff noted multiple times that since the wall was to be rebuilt, some planning should take place to account for items such as lights and cameras and internalize the associated conduits and wiring into the wall of the building. A new application has been submitted for lights that unfortunately propose to surface mount the conduits to the wall. Although this is similar to the previously existing condition, staff again notes that this wall was being mostly rebuilt. This is essentially a new lighting installation. Regarding conduit and wiring installations, the guidelines state that the VCC requires minimizing the amount of exposed wiring and conduit, and that conduit is required to be installed in concealed or discrete locations. The submitted plans show the surface mount of conduit running slightly above the header heights of the ground floor opening and dropping down to above the header of the shorter courtyard door. It also appears that the conduit is shown wrapping the corner to the front of the building. Staff notes that two security cameras are also shown in the elevation with no conduits indicated for those cameras. That seeks confirmation from the applicant that there would not be any additional conduit run to these cameras. Staff does not find the proposed conduit consistent with the guidelines requiring that exposed conduit be minimized and or installed in a concealed location. Staff recommends deferral of the application to allow the applicant time to revise the proposal and minimize the conduits.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Catherine Harmon, LK Harmon Architects, 6238 Oregon.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
Yes, briefly. My client is absolutely set on having the service limit come to it when they was the existing condition before. And so he just wants to leave it there and doesn't want to penetrate the historic masonry wall just to get the bricks at all. And I don't believe it's going to be a new conduit for the cameras. I think they're low voltage, and it's just going to be two very small holes through the wall for those. We'd rather have a denial than a deferral. The only part of the wall was rebuilt, so the existing conduit to the left side in this elevation was that would be existing from the main. And the new wall would be the covering of three openings to the right.
Just so everybody knows, that was a violation.
That was the wall.
Before the wall
was taken down.
Fell down. Yeah, we have that. Numerous emails talking about this conduit. And it being, right? And it being reinstalled correctly and not on the surface mount.
So has this installation happened?
No.
No, so this
is... The prior It previously looked like this.
Right, okay.
And that was a violation.
So has this been submitted for review previously?
There was a lighting permit at some point. I can't say for certain that the installation filed that permit to the letter.
And the reconstruction of the wall didn't include this?
No, but we had numerous conversations.
I get you.
Yeah. And they're documented. They're on the record. They're emails.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Questions for the applicant?
What's the status of the interior of the building?
It's done.
Yeah.
The back of the shop.
Oh, yeah. We worked with them to get them moving as quickly as possible.
And so that's the reason...
Drawings on the weekend. Mm-hmm.
That's the reason the owner doesn't want to move the conduit inside. It's going to...
He's got several reasons. He doesn't want to penetrate the historic brick wall. You know, obviously, it's newly constructed, but they reuse the bricks. He just doesn't want to have it any different than it is now. It was before and is now. And he is saying the argument that it never used to have lights historically, obviously, other than, you know, kerosene-powered light, which is a creatively stated fact.
So he'd be fine if we just denied all lights.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we don't want to be denied all lights, but he's just pointing out that there was never electricity.
You can't have it both ways.
Well, I just think it's a rather disingenuous proposal that this is some sort of historic condition.
Right.
When conduit and electric light is not historic. This wall is not historic because it was rebuilt. So, I mean, the idea that we have to go back to some sort of historic and appropriate conduit situation
it's ridiculous
at best.
I also think it's disingenuous that we had all these conversations regarding this. And we sped this along and we worked very closely with the applicant and the owner to get this moving. With this, the lighting was always part of the conversation. It was never not part of the conversation.
Okay.
The last phone call I made before coming to this meeting was, do you still want to keep the conduit on next to the wall? Absolutely, yes. Push hard to get maybe exterior mounted conduit in the light.
Have you received your use and occupancy for the building?
I have not personally handled that aspect. I was really started on the stuff just to design and draw. Not they had a permit expediter.
Is resolution of this part of use and occupancy approval?
We have to see where we are with all that.
You have to sign off.
The lighting was a completely separate permit. In fact, it was completely separate. And I do remember inspecting it. Final inspection before the city third party inspector was going to come out. So, I've got a reason to believe
the lighting was in it.
Not until
as a new application.
Yeah, as a
post
new application.
Construction.
We didn't want to hold up the rebuilding.
No, I get you.
Yeah.
But it sounds like there's.
Lighting was submitted recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask if there's any public comment on this proposal. And I don't see any. Committee. What's your pleasure? We have a recommendation for deferral. I don't know what that's going to get us.
I'm happy to give a denial.
Well, I mean, what I hear is that this is going to be appealed to the city council.
Right.
And I feel like even a deferral can be appealed to city council, but the record should show the position of the VCC in a report that would go before council versus,
based on
architectural. It's got to go to commission first, so we don't
know. It doesn't have to.
Oh, well.
A denial.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So that's the problem.
Commission could go the other way. You never know. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Is there a motion? Is there any more discussion?
No.
Would you like to add anything before we go to a motion?
No.
Okay. In the matter of 601 Bourbon Street, is there a motion one way or the other?
In the matter of 601 to 03 Bourbon, I move to adopt the staff report and defer this matter, encouraging the applicant to work with the staff on a proposal that meets the guidelines.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
I guess.
That would be a yes? Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Please work with your owner on this. Thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Understood.
828 Bourbon Street. Do we have an applicant present? I see an applicant. Do we have a staff report, please?
Yes. 828 Bourbon is a green-rated main building and service hub. It's a proposal to make changes to previously approved plans, including new structural work and installation of a new glass partition wall and door. Application materials received November 10th and December 8th, 2025, respectively. This property has been under renovation for some time, with VCC permits initially issued for this renovation in 2019. Work has progressed over the years, and a recent staff inspection revealed some possible changes to the previously approved plan. Additional structural work that was not originally considered is now being proposed. This appears to be exclusively reinforcing the various balconies around the rear courtyard. Around the service aisle, the existing wood outriggers are proposed to be replaced with new treated wood beams. These would be sisters and bolted to the existing floor joists on the interior side of the wall. This detail appears to be typical, provided that the dimensions of all elements match existing. Staff notes that the plans show this detail being applied to every single outrigger of the service aisle, and questions if this is completely necessary. Staff encourages the retention of existing building material if possible. Different balcony detail is shown in section drawing 3, which is indicated as being used at the balcony that is on the rear wall of the new building. This existing balcony has been demolished and will need to be completely rebuilt. In lieu of a typical balcony structure in this location, the structural plans show this balcony being built with a board located on top of the masonry wall and a metal bracket supporting the balcony structure. The bracket is shown bolted to the exterior side of the wall. Staff notes that the underside of this balcony was previously exposed, and there's no indication in the current set showing the underside of this balcony being enclosed, meaning these new elements would be visible. Staff questions how this detail will work architecturally and requests further explanation of the structural detail. It appears the wood structure of the balcony would be sitting on top or be embedded in the basement wall. The second aspect of the proposal in need of architecture committee review occurs at the rear stairs of the main building. Before this renovation began, there was an inappropriate wall and door in this location. The approved plan showed the inappropriate wall and door being removed and the stair returning to open air, which would have been the historic condition. The applicant is now proposing to install a new steel and glass partition at the base of these stairs. When staff inquired about the reason for this proposed change, the applicant noted that this was a fire marshal requirement. The upstairs apartments of the main building is two stories and utilizes the stairwell, necessitating a rated separation between the first floor alleyway and the stairwell. The proposal is to use a minimal and transparent system. It came from discussion of the situation with SHPO. Staff finds the reintroduction of partition in this location to be unfortunate, as the previously approved plans had the inappropriate partition being removed. Still, staff agrees with SHPO's recommendation that a transparent partition would be preferred over something more solid. Staff questions if there would be any equivalencies considered by the fire marshal, such as sprinklers, that would allow the partition to be eliminated. The mechanical equipment for the property was always shown as being stacked in the space between the main building and the service cell. The previously approved plan showed three levels of mechanical equipment in this location, with the top of the top unit only just above the balcony railing and all well below the surrounding walls. During a recent inspection, staff found that the fourth level had been built and that now the highest equipment is very near the top of the property line wall. The revised drawings show that the top of the equipment is still well below the top of the wall, although photographs of the condition are not as conclusive. Staff sees confirmation that the top of these upper pieces of equipment will remain below the top of the wall as shown in the plan. Provided the equipment remains below the top of the wall, staff has no objection to this additional level of equipment. Lighting is proposed around the service aisle. Although the fixtures themselves are consistent with guidelines and staff approval, staff notes that the locations of the fixtures are unusual. The fixtures are shown above the height of the doors of the various units, but offset from the doors. Recent inspection photographs show that these locations have already been roughed in. Although these off-center locations are inconsistent with guidelines, as these fixtures are on the rear of the property and that relocating them would disturb additional building fabric, staff finds the lighting proposal potentially approvable. Specs have been submitted for soffit vents, noting that two would be located in the balcony ceiling of the service aisle, centered between the posts and centered front to back. These are shown as being made from paintable ABS with UV protection. Staff has no objection to the concept of soffit vents in these locations, but questions if the plastic portion of the vent should be covered with a more typical cast iron soffit vent, or if the plastic portion could be eliminated entirely in favor of a more typical soffit vent material. In summary, staff's largest concerns with the revised proposal are the structural details shown for the balcony in the rear of the main building and the introduction of a metal and glass partition at the base of the rear stairs. Staff finds the other aspects of the proposal to consent to approval and requests commentary from the committee regarding those two items in question.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Lacey Watring, project architect, 305 Fulbeck Street.
Jamie Saxon, Morphe Bukowski, 336 North Wilton, St. Francis.
Okay. Do you have a presentation you'd like to share with us or a response to the staff report?
Sure. This project has been through a lot. We've seen a lot of people working on the job and then not working on the job. It's sort of steamrolled into a project that it did not originally start out to be. I think we now have a good crew and a good contractor and someone who's looking at the drawings and truly, like, you know, understanding the delicacy of this. The hope is that we can, like, from here, really get this done and get it done right. First thing I'll address is the stairwell situation, because I think that's one of the two sort of issues that Nick needs clarification on. That wall, we actually moved it over, the one that's rated, we moved it away from the stairwell because the original wall was closer to the stairs and was just too tight. But in order to safely exit the building, it was brought to our attention from the state fire marshal that's essentially like a three-story atrium that people need to exit through, not only from the rear but from up above. So the safest way would be to block that access with something rated. SHPO obviously wants us to be able to see the stairs, and we agree with that, and so that's why we're requesting this glass, fire-rated glass door. It would be connected to historic masonry on one side, but in essence, at some point, it could easily be removed. It's not recreating a false sense of history, and it's creating a safe exit path for the occupants. I think the other sort of aspect that Nick brought up was the structural balcony, which I guess was deemed at some point structurally unsound.
Yeah, when we got brought on, they shored all that rear balcony up back there, attached to, I guess we'll call it, the quarters back there. Most of those joists are pretty rotted out. They've got that all shored up. If there's one or two that are good, I'd be surprised, you know. It's been left to rot back there. And then there was a lot of very iffy things done to the main part of the building,
yes,
to say the least. So we did a comprehensive analysis of that building to make sure everything is there. We've done other details to shore up and replace and rebuild things. Proper attachments of framing to the walls instead of pieces of a rebar knocked through the wood, holding it in place. This little, I guess this little one parallel to the front building there, I think someone had, I don't know what was originally there, but it was, they just looked like it was a platform that just sat there, so we really rebuilt that and have the plates to anchor into the bolts, because it really does sit on top of the walls there at that level. We tried to make it at least as intrusive as possible.
Cool. So this will occur at every...
Just those three. It's like just those three joists. You've got six of them. Okay. Three of them. One of each end of those.
There's not a great picture.
May I ask, in the loggia where you're doing the glass wall, so does that become conditioned space? Or are you going to have, okay, you're going to have to do some sort of airflow in there? Okay. I figured that would.
Okay, committee, questions for the applicant or for the staff about these proposals? So have you sought an equivalency from the State Fire Marshal for the somehow not to have to install this partition, like a sprinkled? Have you sought other solutions to the partition?
The building is not sprinkler, so no. And even if it were, it's still an exit path from the rear for the people that need to walk through from the rear units. It's unfortunate. Obviously, we'd love to leave it open. It would cost a lot less if we could leave it open or figure out a sprinkler system. But like, this is where we landed with the State Farm Marshal and SHPO. Like, we needed everyone's input because, in addition to having to, you know, save the exterior, preserve the exterior, they're also concerned with the interior. So,
this is the current.
Yeah,
it's bizarre.
It is
so strange in there.
It's already been altered.
Yeah, significantly.
You know, to where it really seemed like this was the least invasive and most appropriate way of sort of creating a safe path to exit.
Okay, is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Got that out of the way. Committee, any questions? Is there, or are we ready for a motion? So I just have to ask a couple questions about this partition. When you passed this to the State Fire Marshal for initial review, was this marked as an issue or?
No. Oh, when we added the door, it was not an issue.
Before it was. And so when we reviewed this in concept, it wasn't part of the proposal.
When you reviewed this in how many years ago was that?
About six years ago.
I have no idea if that architect at the time
was
even had talked to the State Fire Marshal.
Okay, so
I am not the original.
I'm just trying to trace this down. So basically, we're not surprised by this. It's just an unfortunate development based on plan review.
Yes. I have no idea. I'm going to say that the original architect did not run this past State Fire Marshal.
Okay. Committee, please. Any positions on this? Design of the door, whether the door should be there or not?
I think I'm with staff that I guess if it has to be there, then we could probably try to figure something out. But what I see on slide 142, that elevation doesn't look like it is reflective of the opening that we're filling. In plan, that opening seems much wider.
There's the side lights.
Right, but those side lights seem very skinny compared to what they look like in plan.
I'm happy to double check the dimensions. The idea is that it's a 36-inch wide door, and then we have the side lights to make up the space. And any particular detail, they have a few different fire frames. Like, we are happy to work with the staff and figure out exactly what they deem appropriate.
Yeah, well, I mean, as the points that you made are very clear. It will not be mistaken for historic fabric. It is reversible. If in the future somebody wanted to put a sprinkler in this building and make it not necessary.
Or if someone turned it into a wide,
right.
Someone says this is my single family home.
I can also think of at least one other property where we did this where the loggia was enclosed and there was a legal agreement that was part of the permitting process that said that the VCC maintained jurisdiction over what we would have historically had jurisdiction over.
Yeah, I think that should be part of this. Okay, then the outriggers, which I think is kind of a null set in my mind. I think you've come up with a pretty neutral and non-invasive or minimally invasive detail. Do you all agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else we want to say about this? Would you like to add anything before we go to a motion? The only thing I can say is, you know, you might work with the staff on the design of this partition to make it.
Happy to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem quite right yet. I mean, I'm with Stephen. So, okay, is there a motion? Yes.
Just to add to that, I think the frame itself is very chunky. The note calls for steel and glass, and if it actually looked like a steel framed glass partition, that would be very cool. I imagine that's very expensive.
And it's going to have to be custom, so like we're going to have
The fire frame, it's a whole rated system. It's not just a matter of like, oh, we like this steel detail and let's pop in some rated glass. Right. Like it has to be all one unit.
And you're looking for, it's a 1 hour separation? Or okay.
Yes.
So it's not just smoke?
No, 1 hour.
And we're not seeing any hardware on this. Is it going to just be a passage latch?
I sent Nick a whole spec book. I think they have a few different like latching options.
Yeah, I didn't include the whole spec book in there. But it's like 50
it's
pages.
Huge.
Well, it changes. I don't know if crash bar is required or if a single action handle will be required. That would change the design of the door.
I'm following. I essentially worked with them and we decided that the light, that's their light frame, which is their least chunky. And then I'd have to double check on what the door hardware situation requirement would be. I can't recall.
Okay.
What is the capacity on the upper floors?
I'm sorry?
What is the capacity? How many?
One unit.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would imagine the hardware is probably going to be pretty simple.
Yeah.
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 I think the finish on it probably is going to make a big difference.
The finish
if it's
on
just
this,
clear anodized, it might not look so good.
Right. I think there are a few options as far as, and again, happy to work with Nick and whatever he thinks is appropriate.
I think the finish is what's going to change. The, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, we don't want it to look like the entrance to like a grocery store, obviously, is, you know,
or anywhere else on Bourbon,
right?
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 828 Bourbon Street?
Yes, in the matter of 828 Bourbon, I move to conceptually approve the proposed work with the applicant to work with staff on detailing for those items identified in the staff report for further investigation and detailing.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. Thanks for coming in and thanks
Thank
for working
you.
With the staff.
Thanks.
Next item is 400 North Rampart Street. We have an applicant present. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 400 North Rampart is a yellow-rated building. They're proposing to renovate the building, including installation of a new rooftop generator and relocating a kitchen pit vent. The application materials received December 1st and December 4th, 2025, respectively. The Architecture Committee and the full commission reviewed and approved a major renovation, including a rooftop addition of this property earlier this year. Unfortunately, the scale of this work has been significantly reduced, and a new application has been filed for a more minor renovation. This new proposal includes staff approval of repairs to masonry windows and similar elements. Existing 2/2 windows on the southeast with Burgundy elevation are proposed to be replaced with new 6/6 windows, which was included in the previous proposal and approval. The two new items staff identified as being in need of architecture committee review are the proposed new rooftop generator and change to the existing kitchen hood vent exhaust. The applicant is proposing the installation of a new 200-kilowatt generator on the roof, approximately 21 and a half feet from the closest roof edge. The proposed generator features an incorporated sound attenuated enclosure that purports to make it one of the quietest generators of its kind, although staff did not find any advertised decibel level included in the specs. Much like the previously proposed rooftop addition enjoyed the benefit of a very tall parapet around this roof, this equipment would sit completely below the top of the parapet. The parapet is shown rising around 9.5 feet above the roof surface, while the generator is noted as being only 6 feet tall. Staff is confident that there would be no visibility of this equipment, and there would be minimal noise bleed over from it, making installation consistent with the guidelines. Staff proposes if there is existing gas service in the building. If there is not, staff will need additional information regarding how that gas service will be introduced. The second aspect of the proposal in need of architectural review is the proposed rerouting of the existing hood vent exhaust. The existing hood vent appears to feature a metal duct rising from the building before turning and running horizontally to the blower unit sitting on the roof. It appears from the plans that the proposed rerouted location will put the duct more in line with where the existing blower motor is currently sitting. The plans show a more typical mushroom-style fan, which would likely be visible from North Rampart Street and other vantage points. Compared to the existing installation, staff finds the new exhaust will be more minimal and less visible. Staff finds the proposed work consistent with the guidelines and approvable. However, the guidelines do require commission-level review for installation of new rooftop generators. Staff recommends approval of the proposal with the generator to be forwarded to the commission for review.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Yeah. Jonathan Markintel, 2739 Conti Street. I'm the project architect.
Well, first I'd like to say I'm really disappointed that you don't get to build that rooftop addition.
Really cool.
I was very excited about that.
That was very cool.
I was really hopeful. But here we are.
Unfortunately, it was all through, they didn't get the financing and grants that they were going after, so killed it.
Well, it still happens sometime in the future. Do you have a presentation you'd like to make, or response to staff recommendation?
No, I think Nick covered it pretty well. I was just going to update y'all on what happened with the addition and that.
Okay, committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about their recommendation?
Is there existing gas in the building?
Yes.
Perfect. That's what we like to hear.
Yeah. Okay. Any comments?
I'm
just going to ask for public comment, and we have none. So you have, like to add something before we go to a motion?
In talking about the gas with Delta, right now the meter's on the inside of the building. That's not going to be a problem for the current project, but they're talking about upgrading the system. And that would cause the meter to go to the exterior. And I don't know if there's anything that we need to...
You need to call me. And I need to go out there and meet with them. I've been doing it pretty much everywhere.
Okay.
I will find a discreet spot for it. Likely not on the North Rampart or Conti. Since you got those parking lots,
Yeah.
Likely put it on one of the other sides.
Okay.
Because it's pretty... They're pretty big.
Right. And it has the regulator.
Yeah.
I don't know when that's happening. It just came up in conversation.
No problem. Just email me.
Not a problem. Okay, so we don't have any public comment. Committee, any other discussion before we go to a motion? No. Do you like to add anything?
No.
That's the right answer. Is there a motion in the matter of 400 North Rampart Street?
Yes, the matter of 400 North Rampart. I move to conceptually approve the proposal with a positive recommendation to be forwarded to the full commission for their review.
Do I have a second of that motion?
All
in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in. And maybe next time you get to do...
Yeah.
Okay. We'll move on to 740 Royal Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. This is a blue-rated building, and this is a proposal to retain or modify work completed in mediation of the plans, including guardrail extension and mechanical screening. Replication materials received March 12, 2024. And December 9th, 2025, respectively. This application was deferred at the November 24th meeting, with staff's primary concerns being the installation of metal flashing between the balcony or gallery decking and the brick walls and the deviations in the railing extension compared to the approved plan. The applicant has submitted revised materials in an attempt to address these issues. Regarding the balcony flashing, the applicant submitted additional information noting that prior to the renovation, there was metal flashing in this location that extended above the decking from one course of brick. This flashing was removed and new flashing was installed that extends up two courses or approximately 6.5 inches above the decking, as well as extending onto the decking a short distance. The applicant notes that the flashing system was installed to accommodate building movement and thermal expansion or contraction. The applicant proposed to paint the flashing in the color of Gris Morado, which is described by Sherwin-Williams as an ashy violet color. Although staff does not find this to be an appropriate detail, attempting to remove this flashing at this point would risk damage to the underlying basement. Painting the flashing would certainly lessen the visual impact, although staff isn't convinced that the proposed color is the best match to blend in with the masonry. If the retention of the flashing is approved by the architecture committee on the condition that it be painted, Staff suggested several swatches may be needed to find the best color to help minimize the visual impact of the flashing. The portion of flashing that extends over the decking should be painted to match the decking. For the railing extension that deviated from the approved plans, the applicant notes that the corner braces at the curved portion of the extension can be removed without compromising the structural integrity of the extension. The applicant also proposes to remove the three sections of the extension that return back to the building, with the building wall at both these segments are low levels, as these are not code required. Further, the submitted materials include an option of painting the extension white in order to better differentiate between the old and new railing. Staff does not find it necessary to differentiate these elements with paint and is concerned that this may actually draw more attention to the extension when the goal is to make these extensions as visually unobtrusive as possible. Staff finds the installed railing extension around the gallery portion to be fairly successful in this goal, and removing the elements noted above will further help this situation. Staff is more concerned regarding the extension of the balcony portion, as the added extension is much more visually apparent in this area. Staff notes that the supports of the extension at the balcony are significantly closer together compared to the gallery supports. Around the gallery, the supports are around 9.5 to over 10 feet apart, while at the balcony, the supports are shown closer to 6 feet apart on average. Staff questions of having these supports closer together at the balcony would allow for smaller and lighter materials to be used, in turn lessening the visual impact of the extension in this area. In summary, staff finds the proposed solution to the balcony flashing to be potentially acceptable, provided different colors are sampled in order to find the best match. On the railing extension, staff notes that the installed extension that deviates from the approved plans is more visually apparent compared to what was approved. This extension should not be considered a successful example for future projects at other properties. As a retention application, staff finds the retention around the gallery portion with the noted modifications to be potentially approvable. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the extension at the balcony section.
Thank you. We'd like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please.
Yes, Miles Martin, 1000 South Norman St. Francis, architect of record.
Great. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to make?
Yes, thanks for reviewing these items for retention with modification with the additional information that's submitted. Regarding the flashing, happy to work with the PCC staff to select colors for painting, provide mock-ups, get a color approved, and then paint the flashing. Regarding the railing at the gallery, as currently submitted, confirming the acceptance of the gallery modifications as provided and to not paint the railing itself. Regarding the balcony railing, here for discussion on that. As noted, we received the staff report earlier today with the 6-foot spacing being noted. The structural aspect of that railing itself was performed by a structural engineer, so I can't fully comment on the sizing of in regards to any modifications that can be made now. We did include a letter from that structural engineer at the time prior stating of why the balcony railing was sized the way it was to meet code design forces. No further comment.
Okay, committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal? Murray, was your design, your structural design?
Correct.
And did they use a safety factor of 45? What was their safety factor for this guardrail?
Oh, I would have to look at their report for
the
calculation numbers inside of there. There is a significant slope on this balcony system. It's kind of a jarring slope, in fact, as it leaves the building and protrudes toward the street.
Interesting letter. Committee, questions, discussion? While we're thinking about this, I'm going to ask if there's any public comment. I see no public comment. I'll just throw this in. I think the staff has made a reasonable proposal for mitigating this to the greatest extent possible given what we have to work with.
Agreed.
Yeah, just
it's not good.
It's not great.
We're going to, and just so you guys know, we're going to make some notes in the proper report about things that happened here that we don't ever want to see happen again.
Okay, no discussion?
It disturbs me because I know that replacing this rail is going to be a great expense. And it's just really, I don't know, I guess it's unfortunate, it's one thing, but like, I don't know.
Things that we noted during our discussion at the last meeting was the minimal impact on the historic rail.
And I agree,
In terms of a preservation goal, I think that it meets that criteria pretty effectively. That is a small mitigation. We could have something that was attached to the rail. We could have something that was much more disruptive.
And I will tell you guys, we notice it, right? But from the street,
after a couple daiquiris,
I don't know that the average person gets it as much as we do.
Well, it looks safe, so there you go.
Exactly.
Is there a motion in the matter of 740 Royal Street?
Yeah.
Are we ready for that? Or not? I'm looking to y'all for either talk or make a motion.
I guess so. My reading of the staff report was that their recommendation was that if any part of the railing were to be retained, it would be the railing around the gallery. Mm-hmm. And that the railing at the balcony is less successful. But they're requesting our commentary. And it sounds like Rick's commentary is that it's not so bad.
There you go. Well, I think that our mitigation here is that it has a minimal impact on historic memory.
Yeah.
Which we noted before.
Totally reversible.
Totally reversible.
Okay, well, since we've commented now, I'd say in the matter of 740 Royal, I move to adopt the staff report and their recommendations for the balcony flashing and to approve retention of the guardrail extensions as is. With modifications as noted in the staff report.
Okay.
Do we have a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks.
Yes, closing comment, I do not plan on being back in front of this committee again for items in this purview. So.
For this property?
Under this purview of railing and design and all of that. So just thank you for understanding.
Okay, thank you. Take care. Next item is 730 St. Louis Street. Do we have an applicant present? 730? Thank you. We do have an applicant present. Can we have the staff report, please?
730 St. Louis is a green rated main building and service cell. This is an appeal to retain gate installed with deviation permit and proposal to restore courtyard drainage and install flagstone pavers in the courtyard. Current application and materials received October 17th, 2025 and November 18th, 2025, respectively. On December 5th, 2023, the committee reviewed an extensive proposal to remediate work without permit and demolition by neglect violations of the property. Two of the work without permit violations were for gate removal and courtyard paver demolition, both of which crossed the property line and included removal of a trench drain against the side of 726 St. Louis. Work to correct this modification could not be undertaken without the consent of all property owners at 726 and 730. Applications have now been submitted for both addresses, so permits can be issued for these items to be resolved. The applicant proposes to install a new 6-inch recessed concrete trench drain and 1.5-inch thick flagstone pavers on permeable sand bed, which will have a 3/4-inch control joint to demarcate the property line. It is not clear how this control joint will be detailed, considering the pavers will be permeable, so staff requests clarification from the applicant. The applicant proposes to retain but modify the unpermitted gate. Glass will be removed from the metal grills, and all entry hardware will be removed and replaced with a new keyed lever set with an automatic lock release on the interior side. Overall, staff finds the proposed work approvable and appreciates the cooperation between the property owners. However, staff also notes that violations remain open at 730 St. Louis, and much of the work to correct work without permit violations, particularly for signage and lighting, has either remained unresolved or was corrected and then later reversed by further work without permit. Violation cases will continue to be opened and compliance pursued through administrative adjudication until all issues are resolved and no further work without permit is undertaken. The report for 726 St. Louis is the same. The work's the same, just crosses the property line, so we had to do public notice for both properties and two permit applications.
Is there an applicant here for 726 St. Louis?
Yes.
So you're representing both properties?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the properties?
Kurt Fallbacher, architect, 1700 Josephine Street.
And you're representing both properties?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a presentation you'd like to make, or a staff or response to the staff report?
No, we've been working on this project for how many years, and we're very close to finishing the architectural items. These should be the last remaining architectural items. We've had issues between the two neighbors, and that's prolonged us getting to this point. But we got together, and we have a plan, and we're ready to implement it and get this done.
Okay, committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about these proposals? While we're thinking, I'm going to ask if there's any public comment on the proposals. We're talking about both 730 and 726 St. Louis. Nothing? No. Okay. Committee, any discussion, or do we go to a motion?
This has been very difficult, so I'm glad agreements have been reached.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's probably the best we can say. So, do you have to say anything before we go to motions for this matter?
No.
This is not a trick question.
I just don't know what y'all got to say. I just want to get this done.
Yeah, I can. It's the end of the year. Let's okay. Is there a motion first in the matter of 730 St. Louis Street?
Yes, the matter of 730 St. Louis. I move to conceptually approve the proposed work with any final details to be worked out at the staff level, including that the treatment of that control joint.
Okay. Is there a second for
I
that
second.
Motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. Now for 726 St. Louis, is there a motion?
Yes, the matter of 726 St. Louis, I move to conceptually approve the proposed work with all final details to be worked out at the staff level, including that control joint.
Okay. I think that's
I second.
Oh, yeah, second for that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, thank you.
You're done.
And Aaron, I'll call you about the control joint.
I also need a section through the trench.
What's in that?
I saw the paving section, but I need the actual trench.
Oh, just, okay.
Yes. Wait, adjourn.
Yeah. Okay, that brings us to the end of the agenda. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
I have a second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We have adjourned.